chapter 3, verse 12 to 16. And before we read God's holy word, let us ask God for a prayer of illumination. Let's pray. Father God, creator of all things, you made the ears that hear and eyes that see. We pray that through your Holy Spirit, you would open up our spiritual ears to hear and our spiritual eyes to see. Help us, Father, to see the beauty and excellency of your Son Jesus in the preaching of the word. Feed us with your word and help us to be like your Son. In Jesus' name alone we pray. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 16. Not that I already obtained this or I am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anyone you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Do American women love tanned skin? Do the women at Community United Reformed Church love tan skin? What do? To get a perfect tan skin, you strive to expose your skin to the sun more. You do a lot of activities, outdoor activities, and you press on to get that perfect tan skin. Isn't it same with the guys who are in sports, be it in baseball or volleyball or soccer? What do? How do you get that perfect form or the perfect swing or the perfect run? You press on. You go to the gym, you work super hard, you eat the right meal, you study the journal, and you keep working. You keep practicing. You keep pressing on to perfection. Likewise, in the passage that we read a few minutes ago, God is calling us to press on. God is calling us to press on to perfection. And that's the theme of the sermon. Pressing on to perfection. And we will see this truth in three different points. The meaning of pressing on to perfection, the manner of pressing on to perfection, and the goal of pressing on to perfection. The meaning, the manner, and the goal. So look with me with question 114, Lord say 44. It says, but can those converted to God keep these commandments perfectly? And if you remember your Heidelberg Catechism really well, you would immediately recognize the similar language that is used in question 5 of Lord's Day 2. Can you live up to all, that is, the Ten Commandments perfectly? And the answer is no. I am inclined by nature to hate God and my neighbor. You see, the key difference between the question that is in question 5 and the question that is talking about 114 is that in question 5, it is talking about the natural man, But whereas in question 114, it is talking about the natural man who is redeemed by the blood of Christ. So the question is, can a Christian keep the Ten Commandments perfectly? To that, the Catechism gives you a twofold answer. First of all, it's in the negative. And again, this morning we read the Ten Commandments from Exodus 20. And every week when we read God's law from Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, God's law convicts us. It makes us to admit that we cannot keep the Ten Commandments perfectly. And also at the same time, the Catechism gives us the reason for the negative answer. If you see again in the answer, it says, no, in this life, even the holiest have only a small beginning of this obedience. And then the Catechism goes on to give the positive answer. It says, nevertheless, with all seriousness of purpose, they do begin to live according to all, not only some, of God's commandments. You see how the Catechism is defining perfection for us? If you remember from the scriptures, James chapter 2, verse 10, it says the following: whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. For he who has said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. You see, to be perfect, it doesn't mean that you keep 3 out of the 10 commandments. It doesn't mean that you keep 9 out of the 10 commandments. And it definitely doesn't mean like you keep the commandments that you like and you disregard the commandments which you don't like. No. In order to be perfect, you have to keep all of the 10 commandments. And children, you can't say to your father and mother, I will honor my father and mother, and at the same time, you can't steal the chocolate chip cookie that your mom made for your brother. You become a transgressor because you break God's commandment. Take the example of Apostle Paul. He had such an impressive Jewish resume. He was an Hebrew. He was an offspring of Abraham. He was circumcised on the 8th day. He was an Israelite from the tribe of Benjamin. And regards to the law, he was a Pharisee. But for the kingdom of Christ, 5 times he received 39 lashes from the Jews. Thrice he was beaten with a rod by the Jews. Once he was stoned, thrice he had shipwreck, and even this Paul, who spent his life preaching the gospel, this holiest man who lived in the first century AD, just had a small beginning. That's why he himself tells us, if you see verse 12, not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. You see, to press on, it means like a trooper, whether it's a summer or winter, whether the enemy is there, when he's not there, you go forward despite opposition. To press on, it means that you don't change your mind, but with singular focus, you pursue your goal meticulously. And boys and girls, in systematic theology, there's a word to describe pressing on to perfection. You call it sanctification. And you know why Apostle Paul is in the journey of sanctification? And again, he gives the answer in verse 12. He says, "But I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own." You see, in justification, you have the right standing with God. And in sanctification, you press on to perfection. But there is a glue that holds both justification and sanctification together. And here's where J.I. Packer was very helpful. Adoption through propitiation. Because God has adopted you as his child, you press on. Because just as the Father, remember the Sermon on the Mount, Christ Jesus says, be perfect. Why? Because your Father in heaven, he is perfect. You see, adoption is the key to sanctification. Adoption is the key to pressing on to perfection. And again, since we are not our own, but we belong to Christ, both body and soul, in life and in death, we press on to perfection. Now let us consider the manner in which we press on to perfection. Apostle Paul, again in verse 13, he says this, "Brothers, I do not consider that I made it my own, but one thing I do." And when you read like a giant like Apostle Paul, he's saying the one thing that he do, we better pay attention to what he's saying. He says, "The one thing that I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward what lies ahead." And again, if you in the Greek language, it's easier to see that Paul is using a language of an athlete. Paul is using a language of a runner. He does it in other parts of the scriptures, other part of his writing too. For example, in 1 Corinthians as well as in Timothy, he is using a language of a runner. And again, this concept is not new. He gets it from his Christ, his master himself. Because remember in Hebrews chapter 12, Jesus Christ, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And we have to ask this question, what was the joy that was set before Christ that he endured the cross? It was the joy of redeeming sinners like you and me and bringing us to God's kingdom. It was the joy of adopting us to the kingdom of God. Because of that joy that was set before him, Christ Jesus, he endured the cross. And on the cross, when he said, "It is finished," he finished his mission. He finished the race that was set before him. Christian, Jesus is your perfect Savior. Jesus is your perfect example. And again, if sin wears you down, run to Jesus. If sorrow weighs you down, run to Jesus. If guilt, if shame, if the worries of life wears you down, run to Jesus. He said, "Come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's a faithful Savior. He's a perfect Savior. Run to Jesus. And again, I want to give you an example of Paul. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. There, Apostle Paul, he says the following, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receive the prize? So run so that you may obtain it." You see, Paul is telling us to run with a singular focus of winning the race. And that's where the catechism comes into play. The catechism calls it with all seriousness of purpose, and that we begin to live according to all, not only some, of God's commandments. So Paul is not running like an aimless runner, but with all seriousness of purpose of keeping the Ten Commandments, he presses on, he runs forward to Jesus. He says two things. Do not look back. I forget what is behind me. And again, folks, have you tried walking backward? Like when you enter this church, try walking backward. I'm pretty sure you would bump into someone or something. It's so difficult to walk backward. Imagine trying to run when you're seeing it backward. And children, do you know there was a person in the Bible who turned back and became a pillar of salt? It was Lot, Lot's wife in Genesis 19. You may say, it's a horrible way to die. The truth is, God says, the scripture says, do not love the world or anything that is in the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father, it's not in you. And again, Christian, that's why I'm asking you. Is getting a tanned skin is more important than knowing Jesus Christ? Is getting that perfect beach body is more important than spending your day and time on your knees with Christ? Is watching a sports game, participating in a sports event, is more important than reading your scriptures? Christian, is becoming a doctor or an engineer is more important than to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? And again, I want to be clear. The reason that we do this, as Apostle Paul says, Christ has made me whole. Since we belong to Christ, we have the proper motivation to do this. And again, that's the other thing. You see the manner how Paul presses on. He forgets what's behind. And the next thing what he does, he presses forward what's ahead of him. And if you have your Bibles, I would invite you to turn to the same chapter. Look with me in verse 7 and 8. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. And again, this language is taken up in our catechism. The catechism teaches us that we never stop striving. We never stop praying to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit. The manner that we move forward, the manner that we press on to perfection, that we never stop repenting of our sins, and we never stop relying upon the Holy Spirit. You see, Christian, it is the Holy Spirit who makes you strong in God's word. It is the Holy Spirit who enables you to move forward in your walk of sanctification. Let me give you an example. There was a big musical event that was happening in the Chicago theater. There was this famous music celebrity was going to be there. The auditorium was jam-packed, and the crowds were even outside waiting for him. While people were waiting for him, there was a 10-year-old boy who slipped in from the audience, and he started playing the piano. And the crowds, they started literally booing the boy. They started booing him. And out of nowhere, this famous celebrity, he comes up, he stands behind the boy, and both started playing at the same time. He converts that boy's booing into a musical feast. And the crowd, they gave a standing ovation for the celebrity. It's the same thing with us. When we try, by God's grace, the Holy Spirit will enable us to make it a great change. You see, Apostle Paul, Augustine, Calvin, they all testify to the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. That's the manner in which we should press on. Not in our own strength. It's not, you can do this. No, we will not be able to do this. We need the Holy Spirit. And by the Spirit, we forget what lies behind. We hate the world and press on to perfection. The final point of the sermon, the goal of pressing on to perfection. And again, the catechism, if you see, it says that we may be renewed more and more after God's image until after this we may reach our goal, perfection. And Apostle Paul, again, he says thus, the goal of pressing on to perfection is this, that the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You see, both means the same thing. To be like Jesus. And again, if you have your Bibles with you, I would invite you to turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We know this famous verse. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Most of the times, we stop at this, but the verse continues. Listen to me. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. You see, whatever happens in our life, whether it's a happy thing, whether it's a sad thing, it's a tragedy, it all happens. Christian, it all happens so that you and I will be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of everything. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, question and answer one, it says, what's the chief end of man? And the answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God by enjoying forever. And again, what is the ultimate end of man? If you ask me that, the ultimate end of man is to be more like Jesus Christ. And why to be more like Jesus Christ, you may ask? It is because Jesus is preeminent. Because Jesus is supreme. Because Christ Jesus is the end of all things. You see, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. The reason you and I live, the reason you and I have our breath, is because of Jesus. And it is most appropriate that the ultimate goal of man is to be like Jesus. That's the goal of pressing on to be perfection, to be more like Jesus. And finally, brothers and sisters in the Lord, let us run this race with endurance that is set before us. Again, looking on to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And again, let us constantly cry out to God for greater manifestation of the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit would enable us to press on to perfection. And like Apostle Paul, let us forget what lies behind. Let us press on what lies ahead of us. Let us run to Jesus. Let us try. Let us work hard to conform to the image of Jesus Christ. And I'm sure, dear brothers and sisters of the Lord, He who began a good work in you, He will bring it to completion. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, what a great and awesome God you are. You not only redeemed us from the miry pit of sin, but in your great mercy, you gave us your Holy Spirit. We pray, like Apostle Paul, that we may consider the things of the world as rubbish and useless, but with singular focus, press on to perfection, that is to be like your Son, Jesus. Help us each day to forget what lies behind and to press on to what is ahead of us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.